An Osho Talk. Om Mani Padme Hum. Responses to Questions. Number 28.
Your silence goes so deep into my heart that it makes my love unconditional. Beloved Master, is this what satsang is?
There are two ways to look at life. One is the way of the schizophrenic. That has been followed by the crowds around the world down the centuries. It divides things. It is very uneasy without dividing them. And because for thousands of years the teaching has penetrated into every mind, it seems to be the only way. It looks neat and clean, divided. But existence does not follow it. It has its own undivided melting, merging into each other without making any demarcation. I am against the first because it has destroyed so much. That the crime is incalculable. Just the other day, one underground sannyasin has been sent by the court in Germany to an insane asylum. And all that she has done, she was sticking posters around the city saying that Christianity is the greatest crime against humanity. She was caught and brought to the court. And the judge said, It is criminal to hurt people's feelings. The young woman must have been of immense courage. She said, if truth hurts people's feelings, what are you going to choose? People's feelings or the truth? Whatever I have written in the posters, I can prove it. And unless you disprove it, you have no right to send me to the jail. It is a truth that Christianity has committed immense crimes, goes on committing them, and Christianity is not alone in it. Hinduism, Mohammedanism, Jainism, Buddhism, even these soft religions, Jainism and Buddhism, go on continuing committing crimes. Instead of sending her to jail, the judge ordered that she should be put in a mental asylum. To speak the truth is the greatest crime. In fact, the judge should have been put into the mental asylum. He has no grounds to refute and he cannot say that truth has to be repressed because it hurts some stupid people who are clinging with lies. But this goes on happening around the world. Not a single protest has been made against the young woman. Neither anybody has protested against the judge. It has been taken for granted. We have taken for granted so many things which are not so. The old way, the wrong way, the ugly and the insane way divides love from silence, divides silence from ecstasy, divides ecstasy from self-realization, and so on and so forth. But they are not divisions. It is a simple flow of energy moving into different spaces. You are asking, your silence goes deep into my heart. That makes my love unconditional to any logician, to any follower of the first path. It will look absurd. What silence has to do with unconditional love? They seem to be worlds apart. But Satyam Swarup, you gathered courage to say something which goes against your training of logic. It was possible because it is not an intellectual question. It is your existential experience. And logic cannot overrule over existential experiences. Man is a miniature cosmos, everything intertwined with each other. If your love deepens, your silence will deepen. Your blissfulness will deepen. Your innocence will deepen. Your sensitivity, your aesthetic potentiality will come to flowering. Just as your hands are not separate from your eyes, neither your feet are separate from your head. You are an organic unity. The same is the situation in the inner world. Your love, your meditation, your silence, your blissfulness. They are simply waves in the same ocean of consciousness. Hence, don't be disturbed by the master, by the mind, which is pretending to be the master. Listen to the heart, and you will never be on a wrong track. And the more you listen to the heart, more and more your life will become beyond intellect, beyond logic, beyond dialectics, beyond all kinds of discriminations. It is beautiful that you have brought it into a question, that as your silence goes so deep into my heart, there it makes my love unconditional. start from anywhere. You are a perfect circle. And so deeply interconnected with everything in your life, you can start by being more meditative, which is the simplest, because it does not involve other human beings. Others are a little complex. It is better to let them come on their own. My own understanding it don't start by love, because your understanding of love is not the authentic love. It is simply biological infatuation. And if you start with that, you have gone astray. Start with meditation, because meditation is the only thing that biology has not given to you. It has a tremendous force of its own. That's why the physiologist or the biologist will count for everything, but will never mention the word meditation. Meditation is the only bridge between you and the beyond. Start with meditation, and that's what is happening to you effortlessly, sitting with me, listening to me. A silence enters into your heart, and suddenly you feel springs of love unaddressed, radiating in all directions. It is not love to someone, it is simply being loving. But if it comes from meditation, from silence, it will have the purity because it is not coming from biology, it is not coming from your past, it is not coming from all your conditionings, it is coming from the spontaneous experience of silence, and suddenly you see a great aroma of love around you. You have known love, but it was always conditional. Anything conditional is not worth a penny, because the conditional will disappear. Once the condition is fulfilled, there is no purpose in it. Two small boys were talking seriously, one said, "It is strange, everybody has got a girlfriend. I cannot get one." The other said, "You are fortunate, because to get one is simple, but to get out of the love affair is a very messy thing. You enjoy as long as you can your aloneness. I am suffering from these girlfriends. Any love which has some conscious or unconscious conditions is bound to bring frustration, because those conditions cannot be fulfilled. The very nature of the conditions is such. Every girl hates her mother. She may not be conscious at all. But the thing becomes more complicated, that he hates the mother and she imitates her too, because there is no other woman whom she can imitate and learn. So she learns all those ugly ways that she hates. Every young girl loves the father, just as the boy loves the mother. It is very natural, because the first experience of the other polarity for the girl is the father, for the boy is the mother. That is their first experience of the other sex. And naturally there is a tremendous attraction. But there is also a big barrier. The boy hates the father just as the girl hates the mother. The reason is the same. The boy hates the father because he is possessing his love object, the mother. And the girl is jealous because the mother is possessing the father, whom she would have liked to possess. These things go into the unconscious realms of your being, but they remain with you for your whole life unless you become enlightened. This makes your love strangely conditional, which cannot be fulfilled. Every man is expecting his wife unknowingly to be his mother. That is the image of the woman that he is carrying. Now, no other woman can fulfill that image. And anyway, the girl has not married him to become his mother. And things become more and more complicated because the girl is carrying the image of her father. She wants her husband exactly to be like his father. And certainly no man marries to become a father. And then complexities go on becoming more and more difficult. The husband wants the wife to be like the mother, but he hates the mother. The girl wants the father to be the condition that has to be fulfilled by the husband, but the poor husband in the first place has no idea what is expected of him. And in the second place, the wife also hates the father. Now things become so complex and complicated and the family has been the unit as long as we can remember back into the past, the unit of the society, a very insane unit, and it creates the whole society. And each generation transfers its cancer to another generation. When I say love has to be unconditional, it means you are not expecting from the other anything. You are not expecting the other to be someone else. You are simply loving to the other as he is or she is. And your unconditional love will make you unattached with individuals. It will be just an aroma around you. You will be a loving person. You will love the trees, you will love the sunset, you will love a woman, you will love all that this universe provides you. Right now, the conditional love is like an imprisonment. Two persons who don't like each other are holding each other into imprisonment. It is a strange thing. If you don't like the other, say goodbye. But you cannot say goodbye because you are afraid he may enjoy somewhere else. It is not according to your jealousy. He has to be happy with you. A husband does not like his wife to be laughing, being happy with another man. Neither the wife likes. So it is a very strange situation in which we have placed humanity. And unless a great awareness happens that this is our fundamental misery, you cannot be freed from this hell that you have made of the earth. Lovers, the so-called lovers, I mean, are more like detectives on each other rather than lovers. Jealously watching what the other is doing. Every letter is opened. Every pocket is searched. One night a woman heard in his sleep her husband was again and again saying, Kamala. Darling, the woman was listening exactly what is happening. In the morning, she asked the first thing, who is this Kamala darling? The man said, it is nothing. Yes, it is the name. Of a female horse. And I have been thinking to bet on the horse. You know the season of race is coming. And then just when they were talking this, the phone rang. The husband ran towards the phone. The wife said, stop! I will take it. And then he handed over the phone to the husband. That female horse, Kamala darling, wants to talk to you. Even in sleep, you are not free to say things. And people say there is freedom of speech. If there was a small window which God missed to make into every head, the wife would have been looking through the window into your dreams. What are you seeing? Who is this woman? I have heard about two young men who were going to Alaska, far away from humanity, for some research work. In the last village, they purchased everything that they will need at least for 3 months. When their purchase was complete, the owner of the shop said, "I don't want to interfere, but I am more experienced and I have been giving things to all kinds of research workers who go to the deep into Alaska, where you will not meet another human being." They said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I have a suggestion. I have a plastic woman, really great, glamorous, they both said, "This is nonsense. Plastic woman, what we are going to do with plastic woman?" He said, "Just keep it in case you need. Then there will be no woman available for thousands of miles." One of them relaxed and he said, "I will purchase it." The other said, "Are you mad?" The first said, "I am not mad. But without a woman for 3 months, I may get mad. I am going to purchase the woman, just show me." He pumped the air into the woman and it came out so beautiful because it is manufactured, everything perfect. The first man said, "You have been a great wise man to advise us." He purchased. And he said on the way to his friend that, "Remember, I don't like anybody to befool around my wife." The man said, "Are you gone already mad? It is a plastic woman. It is not your wife." He said, "Whatever it is, for these 3 months in Alaska, watch out. Because I am a very angry man. If I see you with my woman, there is only one way that I know, and that is to shoot you." The man said, "What kind of nonsense you are talking? A plastic thing, and you will shoot me, your best friend. And why I should get interested in your plastic woman?" He said, "Just I made you alert about it. Don't tell me later on that why you did not say it to me." And after 2 months, the man who has purchased the woman came back to the same village and thanked the man that you had given me something that was immensely needed in that lonely place. The owner asked, "But what happened to your friend?" He said, "Don't ask me about that bastard. I sought him." He said, "For what?" He said, "I caught him making love to my woman." And that idiot did the last thing as I came in and was going to sort him. He cut with his teeth the nipples of my woman. So my woman immediately flew out of the window. I have lost the woman, I have lost the friend. I have come to ask, "Have you got another pair?" This whole society is boiling with jealousy. Nobody says it. Everybody hides it. But the more you hide it, the more it goes on like a cancerous growth, expanding in your interior being, just look how many things you are jealous of. Somebody has a beautiful house, and somebody has a beautiful physique, and somebody has beautiful strong body, and somebody is a giant intellectual, and somebody has the most wealth that one can ever think of, so on so forth. There are all around people who will make you jealous. Instead, your life being in an oceanic love, it is suffering in a gutter of dirty jealousy. But unless you start looking inwards and finding the roots, you will not be able to transform it. You are blessed Swarup that just without any effort my silence reaches to your heart. It will purify you. It will destroy all that is poisonous in you. Jealousy, anger, greed, attachment, possessiveness, it will make you just a beautiful flower of love. What is happening has been called in the East satsang, being with a man who has attained the truth. Yes, this is satsang, where without any effort on your part, just the grace of your master starts alchemical changes so silently that you become aware only when the work is done. And there are few things, for example, if you have known love unconditional, you cannot undo it. It is so vast and it is so beautiful that what you used to think love compared to it looks like just an ugly nightmare. You would not like to go back to it. Your whole being will resist going back to it. My speaking to you is not especially to give you any philosophy or any dogma or any creed or any theology or any religion. My talking to you is a device so that you can experience my presence, my silence, in an unaware moment, perhaps. You can come closer to my heart without any fear, this is a device for meditativeness. I am not interested in any kinds of doctrines. They have tortured humanity long enough. I am interested in a loving humanity in a humanity fragrant with silence, rejoicing this immense gift of life and existence. The madam watches anxiously as Gloria, her best girl, is about to be wheeled into the operating room for a heart transplant. She grabs the surgeon by his sleeve and asked what are her chances for recovery, doc. "Are pretty good, I would say," replies the doctor. "After all, she has not rejected an organ in 20 years. Mendel Kravitz, the wealthy Jewish businessman, has a very bad case of hemorrhoids. He goes to all the most famous doctors for a cure, but no one can help him. One day he is glancing at a religious magazine when he notices an article explaining how Pope the Pollock has a special holy cure for hemorrhoids. He goes to see the Pope, who for a fee of $10,000 gives him a series of massages using a special holy oil. After the third session, Mendel asked the Pope if he could buy some of the holy oil to take back to New York, so that his wife, Ruthie, can complete the treatment. Pope the Pollock agrees, and the next day Mendel is sprawled on his bed at home while Ruthie massages his hemorrhoids. Mendel asks Ruthie exactly how she is giving the massage. "Well," says Ruthie, "my left hand is on your shoulder and with my right hand I am massaging your ass." "That's funny," says Mendel, when the Pope did it, he put both of his hands on my shoulder.
The responses to sutras and voice recording on this audio format are the copyright of Osho International Foundation. Copyright dates 1953 through 2003. All rights reserved. Reproduction in any media is prohibited.